Scripture reading this morning is from Judges 6, 11 through 16. It's on page 213 of your Pew Bible, if you want to follow along. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak at Ophrah, which belongs to Joash the Abizrite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." And Gideon said to him, "Pray, sir, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this befallen us? And where are all his wonderful deeds which our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has cast us off and given us under the hand of Midian." And the Lord turned to him and said, Go in this might of yours and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you?" And he said to him, "Pray, Lord, how can I deliver Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest, and Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." And the Lord said to him, "But I will be with you, and you shall smite the Midianites as one man."
I'm going to turn in the black hymnals and just sing a chorus, "Praise the Name of Jesus." 2066, and we'll sing it through two times. 2066. Sit down. And I promised Brendan I would put my name tag on, so I will. All right? Now, will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. They had gone up there on retreat. Jesus and his 12 disciples, far away from the usual territory of ministry in Galilee. They were up in the hills of Mount Hermon, 30 miles from the coastline of the Sea of Galilee. It would have taken them 2 days to get up there. It was time for them to get away from the pressures of ministry. Jesus wanted to spend time with his disciples. They had been sent out to the villages throughout the region of Galilee, preaching and teaching and healing and casting out demons. And now they were heading off to a time of debriefing. They'd already been engaged in ministry, but now Jesus wants to help them understand more clearly what it means to follow him. And so they're up there on this retreat, and they settle in. And after they're, I picture them sitting, laying on the ground, sitting on rocks, just relaxing. And then Jesus begins to talk to them. And one of the things he asks them is, as you are going about around the region, talking to people, who do people think I am? Well, one of the disciples said, "Some think that you're John the Baptist." Another one said, "Some think that you're Elijah or Jeremiah or some other prophet." And then Jesus looked intently at the 12 who knew him best. And he said, But who do you say I am? And Simon, one of the faithful fishermen of the group, one of the first that Jesus called to follow him, impulsively blurts out, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And to that Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Simon. No human has shown you that, but that came from the Father. And because of this, your name will now be Peter, the rock. And on this rock I will build my church, and even the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." It was in this setting that Simon received a new name. Oh, we know he still fumbled along. He, you know, had made poor judgments. He even denied knowing Jesus. But Peter began living by a new name. And later, when he wrote his first letter to the church, he talked about the inheritance that we receive when we receive a new name. The call to Jesus is a powerful thing. He speaks into the restlessness of our lives, into the broken places, into the vacuum, into the fears and the sins we harbor. And he touches us with grace, and he calls us by a new name. Having a new name means that Jesus needs us for a special purpose. By what name is Jesus calling you? Or is it a name that you haven't yet envisioned for yourself? Times were extraordinarily difficult for the Jewish nation. They had finally settled in the promised land, but they were in trouble. On every hand, the Midianites were oppressing them, and they lived in fear. In fact, they literally were living in shelters, in the clefts of the mountains, in fortresses, in caves, wherever they could find a place to hide from the enemy. Oh, from time to time, they would sneak out and they would plant crops so that they would have food to eat. And then they would watch the crops grow and flourish, and then they'd watch the Midianites and the Amalekites invade their land and ravage their crops until there was nothing left. And they would do the same thing with their livestock. They would slaughter all the cattle and the sheep and the donkeys until there was nothing left. The nation of Israel was in peril and impoverished. So how did God respond? Well, the passage of scripture that Dave read to us from Judges 6 opens up in the midst of all this trouble. And we find Gideon in a wine press threshing wheat. Now, I know nothing about threshing wheat, and I know even less about pressing wine, but I do know that you do not thresh wheat in a wine press. But Gideon was actually hiding out. He was a coward. He didn't want to be discovered by the Midianites or even the Lord. But then an angel of the Lord comes to him and says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." God didn't accept Gideon's fear. And it was as if God didn't even know that Gideon was a coward. Gideon doesn't think he's ready to work for the Lord. But the Lord calls him by a new name, mighty warrior. It's both a call and a charge. But look at Gideon's response to this new name. First he says, "Well, pardon me, Lord, but if you really are in charge, why are we having all this trouble? Where are all the miracles that you did before? You have abandoned us and you've given us into the hands of the Midianites." And the Lord says, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel. I am sending you." Well, then Gideon goes on and he says, "Well, that's great, Lord. But if you'll excuse me, you've got the wrong guy. I come from the weakest of the clans and I am the weakest of the weakest." And the Lord says, "But I will be with you." Maybe you are wandering around threshing wheat, trying to find your way, but the Lord is stirring something new inside of you, giving you a new future, a new call, a new name. We're in this time of transition, and we're getting closer and closer to the time when you'll have a new pastor. But we're also in a new, living in a new day and a new age and a new world. God may be calling us as a congregation to something new, to a new name. If you sense that the Lord is wanting to give you a new name, maybe you have some objections, as Gideon did. You know, I'm just not the right person, Lord. You know, I'm just too busy. I'm too old. I'm too young. I don't have the right gifts to do what you're asking me to do. You know, I'm not good enough to be a Sunday school teacher or a deacon or a church leader or a youth sponsor or a... You fill in the blank. I've told you this on other occasions, but when Dave and I were asked to consider to be missionaries in Europe living in the Czech Republic, my initial response was, no way, I'm not going. And I had my objections too. You know, Lord, I never really felt, I never wanted to be a missionary. I never felt called to be a missionary. You know, Lord, I don't really want to live outside the United States. I don't really want to disrupt the boys in their schooling. Lord, I've never been good at languages, and I don't want to have to learn another one, especially at my age. But my best objection was, Lord, I don't even know where the Czech Republic is. All I knew was that it was a former communist behind Iron Curtain's country that used to be called Czechoslovakia. But I've also told you that it wasn't until the Lord convicted me during a personal time of prayer, convicted me because I'd always been critical of those who limited God as to how, when, and where He could use them. At that point, I surrendered, and I allowed God to give me a new name and use me in ways that I never dreamed of, which turned out to be life-changing for me and for our whole family. He even helped me learn a difficult Slavic language, Česinu jehezky, ale těžký. The Czech language is beautiful, but it's difficult. What is the Lord saying to you, to us? He's saying, I am with you. I will prepare you. You don't have to worry about anything except to be obedient to my call. The Lord calls ordinary people. Look at Gideon and Peter. He calls ordinary people to give themselves to Him, and then He'll take it from there. But He needs us to be willing to say, I'll do what you want me to do, even though I'm not sure you've got the right person. If you look in Judges, finally, after arguing with God, Gideon relents. And we see in his obedience that he becomes one of the strongest judges in Israel. When you are obedient, you too will discover the wonders of the call of God. Igor was one of Dave's preaching students in Russia. Before he became a Christian, he was in the Russian Merchant Marines. He was also a drunken, carousing womanizer. His assignment in the Merchant Marines was on a small boat that took supplies up to scientific and military outposts in the Barents Sea, which is in the Arctic Circle. Igor remembers this little tiny ship at a 45-degree angle with waves two times the height of this sanctuary. He remembers the cold, bitter wind blowing in his face and his hands, and the danger of always the possibility of being washed overboard. After he'd been on the ship for a while, he became sick, and he became so sick that in the next port city, they had to take him to a hospital. But they also had to leave because they had a schedule and they had to get on, and so Igor was left in the hospital. And when he got better and he got out, the ship was long gone, and he had no job. And one night he was wandering around the streets of this little Russian port city in a drunken stupor. And all of a sudden, he heard music, and he began to look around and think, where is that music coming from? And then he realized it was coming from the storefront that he was standing right in front of. And when the music was over, he opened the door, and he went in, and much to his surprise, he said to the people sitting there, will you sing it again? Please sing it again. Well, that turned out to be a small Russian Baptist church. And the song they were singing is a powerful Russian hymn with a haunting melody, as many of their songs are. And part of that particular song says, "Oh God, your sea is so big and my boat is so small." Igor could relate to those images of the sea and a small boat that he had been on and the constant dangers. This little group of Russian Baptists sang it again and again for Igor. They welcomed him and they shared the gospel with him. And a couple of days later, Igor gave his life to Christ and God gave Igor a new name. Today he is married with 5 children. He works for the Russian Bible League in Irkutsk, which is in Siberia. Igor heard God calling him by a new name, and he started working in a new direction. He acted obediently, and he's been used by God in tremendous ways ever since. What about you? Is God calling you by a new name? Is he calling our church by a new name? I'm not talking about a literal name change, but just a new direction that they might have us be going, new ministries to meet the needs outside these walls. God has a new name for each one of us as we are the church. And it's time to take it seriously. So, what's your name? Lord, you do call us. And each time you call us, you give us new direction and you give us a new name that we each have to discover for ourselves, and then together we can minister in this community and beyond. We thank you for that. We pray just in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn is a great hymn to follow along with what we've been talking about today. Take my life and let it be. And as you sing the other verses, it's take my hands, take my voice, take everything and use me. It's hymn number 385 in the red hymnal, Take My Life and Let It Be. These words from Revelation 2. Anyone who is willing to hear should listen to the Spirit. And I will give to each one a white stone, and on the stone will be engraved a new name that no one knows
except the one who receives it. As you leave this morning, I'm asking each of you to take one of these white stones from the basket, and between you and the Lord, you will decide what your new name is. Depart now in the fellowship of God the Father, and as you go, remember in the goodness of God you were brought into this world. By the grace of God you were kept all the day long, even into this very hour. And by the love of God, fully revealed in Jesus Christ, you and I are being redeemed. The words to your hymn of departure are in your bulletin. It's a familiar tune to you. Go now with a new name.